Hello, Traveler. Greetings from our mascot, Gary. We welcome you with these obscure noises to a bar top, where the person next to you looks like they might have had the crappiest day on the planet, but you, I don't know why I just like lean so close right there, but you yourself had a great day as Traveler, and you kind of get to talking with this person, and you get the depth of them, and you get the differences between life. It just kind of sinks in, right? How you're not the only person. There's a lot of other people on this planet, and they're all experiencing different things at different times with different people. And what their lives might be like is just, I think about it all the time. But we're here, and we're sharing grace. We're sharing grace with ourselves, and we're sharing grace with each other. Kind of like the way the earth gives us grace with rain. And we get glimpses of peace in starlight and dusk. Thank you for joining us today. I'm here, of course, with the wonderful Tall the Journeyed, and my name is Samantha. How are you today, Tall?
I'm doing okay today, you know. Some of the uncontrollable elements of life, as we like to call them, have been really hard of lately. You know, my family recently went through a loss, as I've talked about a little bit, you know. We're now over a week removed from Cookie's last breath. It was a beautiful moment to be able to say goodbye to her in a compassionate way, surrounded by love. It sucked.
Yeah.
Breast cancer sucks.
Yep.
Taxes suck.
Amen.
Unexpected costs suck. All the life stuff is hard.
Yeah.
But those are all just such small elements of life. In the end, we got to be able to give compassion to a life form at the scariest of transitions. We've been able to grow step by step in my partnerships. I've been able to continuously dedicate efforts to my creative space. And continue to understand what it means to slow down and become more mindful. So I appreciate an intro where sitting next to you was the person looking like they've had the saddest day in the world, because that's not too far off.
No, it's not.
Definitely been crying a lot the past week, but I actually got a new tooth, got a trim, got more debt. And I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here.
Very grateful to be here. Life is really a blessing in so many different ways. And in some of the more extreme moments, you find the simplest of gratitudes, right? Gary yells hither to the heavens. Will he ever be satiated? We don't know. But he's really gone through, like, that is the silver lining, and as they say, right? His evolution and transformation just this past week alone.
Yeah.
So, Sam, even though it's been hard, ultimately, really feeling strong to be here and really good to be here. Traveler, wherever you might be, I hope you're doing well. Samantha, how are you?
I am okay. Last week was not a fun week for any of us over here. I'm okay. Cookie passing was heart-wrenching. Seeing two people that I love and care for so much in this world, you know, going through that and having moments of how they broke. It sucked. But I am grateful to be here. Death always brings up weird things for me, right? And I start spiraling on what it means to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll just be sitting on
the toilet. No, it's one of the reasons we're here.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, it's literally exploring death.
You know? Like, sitting on the toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm, like, half asleep, half awake. Like, I'm only awake to not pee my bed, right? And the thought is, what happens after I die? Mm-hmm.
The existentialism.
Yeah, the existentialism. And then it's going down, like, that path of, what does happen?
Yeah.
And then waking up in the morning after, like, a really deep night's sleep where you don't remember your dreams, and you're like, is that what that's like?
It's the closest we have to interpret to it, right?
Yeah, it really is. And that's a weird, weird thing.
Because it's not accurate.
No. Yeah.
You know. While I don't think either of us are the religions we are raised with, nor do I think we are devout Tibetan Buddhists, I think that one of the commonalities we share is we agree in whatever the come next is. The illustration that I think we connected over is that a light touches a light, right?
Yeah.
And that we agreed that it was whatever that light is that come next, I am so grateful for whoever gets to experience whatever that is with Cookie, because they are so blessed.
Absolutely.
Get such a gift. And I am so grateful for the light that Cookie left in this world. Sure. And the love that she did. Because she was such a gift.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that I was able to be compassionate as I could be at the end. I always wish I could do more, and I could always wish I could have more time. And that is the blessing of life.
Mm-hmm. As you get more in different ways.
But regardless, wherever that next light is lit,
yeah.
What a joy that they have coming, you know?
Absolutely.
Whatever that is, whatever it is.
And her light stays here, too. Yeah, in your home with you.
Every day.
Every day.
She always has a home here.
Yep.
She always, whatever spirit and ever habit she might form in.
Every time I get in my car in the morning, I'm always like, my car smells like Cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I smell her still. I hear her still. All that stuff. That's going to be
a while. Yeah, I heard.
It's the quiet. It's the, you know, it's, that's the adjustments, right? You know,
yeah.
My brain just creates her sounds.
Yeah. Danny told me about that this weekend. So when I came over to stay the night, she was like, by the way, you might hear footsteps, or we're not sure if it's our brains, you know, making us hear these things.
I hear her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, she's still very much alive in my reality.
Yeah.
She might not physically be here anymore, but
she's here.
She's here in a way that I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's part of my projection and creation.
Yeah.
But she lives on through me through that, right?
She does.
She is actively a sound to me still. And that is an interesting adjustment. That's why the quiet is hard.
The quiet is hard, yeah.
That's why I try to fill it with mindful mythical.
Mindful that mythical.
That was dumb. And
I liked it.
But, like, actually still feeling the motions and enjoying the quiet when it does come. And still enjoying
it.
These little creatures that are blessings. They're just...
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? Like, what are you doing, Gary?
Gary, do you need love and affection?
No, he's fucking with the mat.
Come here. Come here.
He wants food, is what he wants.
I know.
I don't have the food that he wants.
Come here, Gare Bear. Come here.
You're spoiled with the tiki cat.
Oh my gosh, seriously.
Look at these cats. This makes great audio content. You know, us playing with cats makes great audio content. You know, I just wanted to really make that clear.
Soft transitions, you know?
Soft transitions, indeed.
Gare Bear.
Well, speaking of soft transitions, Sam, I don't think this week's reading is going to be soft. I think we're going to get into some more intense elements of the Bardotholo here.
I do have
a, you got a squishmallow now,
me.
Yeah. You did that. That was just grabbed.
Yeah, it was. So, we left off like a month and a half ago.
Whenever we did, time is.
Time isn't real.
Yeah, whenever you listen to this last, whenever you last listen to that episode.
Whenever we were last in your ear holes and in your brain, we dove into the confession and the presence of the peaceful deities.
Correct.
And today, we, wherever that may be in your life, is diving into the confession of the presence of the wrathful deities. As if on cue, the oven is ready.
That was good timing.
That was really good timing. Thanks, universe, for that. The confessions of faults in achieving meditative stability in reality is as follows. Om. As we have failed to liberate the egotism of the subject dichotomy, subject-object dichotomy. Within the original mandala of natural sameness, we still have not realized the non-dual truth of the abiding nature. O non-dual Buddha body of reality, we seek forgiveness. The confession of faults in achieving the meditative stability which illuminates all that appears is as follows. You open the portals which unimpededly illuminate the ultimate truth, and naturally arise as the Buddha body of perfect resource, within an expanse of radiantly clear moonlight. But we have let the light emanating from the seminal points of your generative essence be diffused. O Buddha body of perfect resource, which illuminates all that appears, we seek forgiveness. The confession of faults in achieving the meditative stability of the casual bias, entailing the visualization of the tiered celestial palace, and the seats of the wrathful deities, is as follows. From the expanse of space, which is the unborn ultimate truth, there appears the Buddha body, the medium through which the fruitional attributes of Buddhahood emerge. Yet we have not even clearly visualized this powerful celestial palace, the abode in which the supreme power of Buddha body is gradually generated. In the presence of the blazing celestial palace, we seek forgiveness. Confession to the five male Harukas, the executors of Buddha body. Executors? Though you steadfastly appear as Buddha bodies sealed within the nature of supreme bliss, holding in your hands the respective implements emblematic of the six pristine cognitions, we have not even achieved the experience of such vividly clear visualization. O five blood-drinking Harukas, we seek forgiveness.
Thank you. Confessions to their consorts, the five Krodisharvi. O Supreme Mother Consorts, conjoined indivisibly with the male Buddha bodies, we have let the light of your non-dual generative essence be diffused into the spacious expanse, which is the lotus seed of desire. O five Krodisharvis, deities, we seek forgiveness. Confession to the eighth Matra. O wrathful female deities of pristine cognition, born of Buddha mind, the natural transformation of the eight classes of consciousness, O Gauri, and accompanying Mahartara, Dakinis of pristine cognition, for whatever ways we have contradicted your Buddha mind, O eight Matara, who embody the classes of consciousness, we seek forgiveness. Confessions to eight Piscayi. O Sikamamui, O accompanying Piscayi, though you remain unwavering in compassionate and quiescent state, you emanate in blazing awesome forms, endowed with fangs and wings, to pacify misconceptions and substantialist views, for whatever ways we have contradicted your Buddha mind, O eight Piscayi, who embodied the objects of consciousness, we seek forgiveness. Confession to the four female gatekeepers. O four female gatekeepers, at the portals of ornate Palatani Mandala, you who summon with the hook, bind with the noose, shackle with the chain, and insulate with the bell. O horse-headed Ankusa, and accompanying female gatekeepers, for whatever ways we have contradicted your Buddha mind, O seals of the four gatekeepers, we seek forgiveness. Confessions to the 28 Itsvari. O Itsvari, you who are accomplished in the rites of liberation, and hold mastery over the judgment of virtuous and non-virtuous actions, O Ishvari, assembly of mothers, for whatever ways we have contradicted your Buddha mind, O oceanic expanses of mothers and sisters, we seek forgiveness. Confession to the awareness holders. O awareness holders, though you never stray from the state of compassionate equipoise within the mandala of spontaneously present natural expression, we have not achieved your pristine clarity of subtle meditative stability. O you who maintain the enlightened attributes, we seek your forgiveness.
Thank you. Confession of one's beginningless violation of the commitments. That sounds really intense. Throughout the beginningless succession of our births, until now, when we have assumed these, our present bodies, we have revolved within the world of rebirth, swayed by ignorance, and however many human births we have taken. Spoiler for Our Flag Means Death, but the season finale, where what's-his-name turns into the bird.
Don't take the birds. Basic lesson of life is don't fuck with the birds.
Don't fuck with the birds. Sorry about that. Wherever we have been born, we have engaged in all kinds of negative acts, including the 5 inexplicable crimes and the 5 approximate crimes. Actually committing them or inciting others to commit them. And even rejoicing in committing and inciting them. Please direct your enlightened compassion toward us. Grant us purification and bestow your spiritual accomplishments upon us. Then the confession should be recited to the entire mandala of wrathful deities and the request for forgiveness made in the following way. Om, O Harukas of pristine cognition, natural purity of the 5 poisons, resplendent amidst flames blazing like the fire at the end of an eon, united with the 5 Kajasvari, the great mothers of space, O 4 inner Dakinis, Gauri and your partners, O outer Yoginis, Pukasi and your partners, O faint clusters of devourers, Simhamukhi and your partners, O winged clusters of the intermediate directions, Grantumuruki and your partners, O 28 Isvari and the blazing courtyard, O 4 female gatekeepers who summon, bind, shackle, and insulate at the 4 gates, we who have not even clearly visualized the bodies of the assembly of wrathful Harukas, we who have failed to recite sufficient heart mantras and failed to stabilize the actualization of the seals, we who have failed to offer adequate feast and torma offerings, request the entire assembly of wrathful deities for forgiveness. Next, the following specific confessional prayers be made to the mandala of the wrathful deities. Om, should we have broken our pledge, which is dangerous to transgress, having earlier taken upon us this supremely secret vow, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the 5 families of Harukas, we seek your forgiveness, O greatly compassionate ones. Should we have been obscured by conceptual grasping, whilst engaged in the practices of the supreme sexual yoga, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the great mother, Kajasvaras, we seek your forgiveness, O mother, Kajasvaras. Should we have failed to actualize the sacred substances in the seals, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the carnivorous Gauris, we seek your forgiveness, O 8 Matra, embodiments of the classes of consciousness. Should we have failed to array the offerings of flesh and blood in accordance with the textual descriptions, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the Pikasi, Simhamukhi, and her partners, we seek your forgiveness, O Dakinis, embodiments of the objects of consciousness.
I think what's so interesting so far is just like how, after coming out of the compassionate ones, going into these wrathful ones, it's just like literally everything in all being and all consciousness, whether it's good or bad or anything perceived as that, it's just like truly omitting yourself from everything in it.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, this is so far, you know, a few pages into the wrathful ones, it's just so evident where it's just like, no, this is it's just to everything.
Yeah, it's all encompassing.
Now, should we have failed to differentiate between the four gates, east, south, west, and north? For whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the female gatekeepers, the horse-headed Ankusa, and her partners, we seek your forgiveness, O four female gatekeepers of pristine cognition. Should we have failed to subdue attachment to the six realms of cyclic existence? Having accepted vows, which are dangerous to transgress, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the seven mothers and four sisters, we seek your forgiveness, O 11 Dakinis. Should we have allowed our resources to become exhausted and the first fruits of the feast offerings to be spoiled? For whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the Isvari, who monitor the first fruits of the feast offerings, we seek your forgiveness, O 28 Isvari. Should we have failed to remain unmovingly in the sacred abodes, but instead engage in distracted activities, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of wardening of the sacred abodes, we seek your forgiveness, O great wardens of the sacred abodes. Should we have failed to regard our personal spiritual teacher as our parent, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the Vajri Master, we seek your forgiveness, O Rigo Vajra Master. Should we have failed to master meditative stability and failed to distinguish the characteristics of the peaceful and wrathful deities, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the assistant Vajra Master, we seek your forgiveness, O lamp of the Buddha teachings. Should we have interrupted the civilization of the seals through our laziness, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the ritual efficient, we seek your forgiveness, O master of ritual activities. Should we have failed to reach the highest criteria when engaged in the practices of sexual yoga, for whatever reasons we have contradicted the Buddha minds of the female consorts, the embodiment of discriminative awareness, we seek your forgiveness, O secret mother, consort who embodies awareness. Should we have lacked the power to maintain meditative stability when engaging in the rites of liberation, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of male liberating Avengers, we seek your forgiveness, O Sipeti, master of liberating Avengers. Should we have failed to please the Buddha mind of the wrathful female emanations, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the gatekeeping master messengers who summon and guide, we seek your forgiveness, O female gatekeepers, who swiftly enact the rites. Should we have broken the continuous expression of love and affection through our laziness, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of our brothers and sisters, our companions on the path of enlightenment, we seek your forgiveness, O Vajra, brother and sisters. Should we have allowed our commitments to generate out of trivial banter, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of those protectors who determine the outer and inner boundaries of our precepts, we seek your forgiveness, O you protectors who keep vigil over the commitments. Should we have consumed our resources accumulated for the feast offering and allow the first fruits of residual offerings to be spoiled, for whatever ways we have contradicted the Buddha mind of the subterranean goddesses within our outer routine, we seek your forgiveness, O great compassionate ones. Please, please be patient with us and bestow your pure spiritual accomplishments upon us.
Wow.
Yeah. I like that. Please be patient.
Please be patient.
I need all the patience I can get, y'all.
And bestow your pure spiritual accomplishments upon us. So the wrathful deities are over there like, yo, we're about to get into the dirty dirt of your life. But
with compassion.
We're going to do it with compassion.
I like the compassion. Always end on compassion.
Always with compassion. Plaintive confession of rampant egohood. Om, O great compassionate and transcendent Lord Vajrasattva, whose supremely exquisite form, immaculate and white, is suffused by a pure inner radiance glowing like 100,000 suns and moons, emanating heroic rays of light which illuminate the chiliocosm. You, who are known as the guide and teacher of the three levels of existence, the unique friend to all living beings of the three world systems, O Lord of loving kindness, deity of compassion, please attend to us. From beginningless time without end, I have roamed throughout cyclic existence, led astray by the momentum of my mistaken past actions and improper past behavior. I have mistaken the path and become lost on the path. I regret with powerful remorse the negative past actions I have committed of any kind. Drawn by the momentum of momentary yet violently resonant past acts, I have sunk into this ocean of suffering, this sea of cyclic existence. The fires of blazing hatred have unabatingly seared my mind. The dense darkness of delusion has blinded my discriminative awareness. The ocean coasts of desire have drowned my consciousness. The mountain of fierce pride has entombed me in the lower existence. The cruel whirlwind of envy has sucked me into those turning worlds, where entwined by the tight knot of egocentricity, I have fallen into the pit of desire, the chasm of blazing fires. Unbearably brutal misery has poured down on me like heavy rain. Damaged by such extreme and unbearable suffering, seared by the blazing ferocious fires of my negative past actions, the shoots of my consciousness and sense faculties have been blunted. If my body, this illusory aggregate, can no longer withstand all this pain, how can you bear to witness this, O compassionate Lord of loving kindness?
It makes me feel like just watching someone suffering, love suffering. I get that.
Yeah. Obscured fool that I am, burdened by the most negative evil past acts. Propelled by the momentum of these past actions, I have taken birth as the personification of rampant egohood within this world system of desire. I regret having taken such birth and am dismayed by my past acts. Yet regardless of my regret and my dismay, past actions cannot be remade. The momentum of past actions is as strong as a river's inexorable flow. So how can the mighty river of past actions be reversed in a mere moment? All that ripens is born from one's own past actions, and I am one who has been swept along by the violent whirlwind of my past actions, and accordingly have roamed over countless past eons, lost within the dark prisons of cyclic existence. O Lord of loving kindness, through the blessing of your compassion, purify the obscurations generated by my past actions and dissonant mental states, and secure me in the presence of your mother-like loving kindness.
Here am I, continuously yearning for the sight of your compassionate face, which shines with luminosity, like that of the sun, and radiates with a clarity like that of the moon. Yet my darkened eyes, blinded by the cataracts of beginningless ignorance, are unable to see you. O Lord of living beings, where are you now? When I am terrified by the utterly unbearable and virulent power of past actions, and my hair stands on end out of fear, I call out this lament in a heartfelt passion and cry out to you in a voice of utter despair. O Lord of loving kindness, if you do not attend to me with your compassion now, at the time of my death, when my mind and my body separate, when I am cut off from the company of spiritual friends and dragged away by Yama, at that time, when my relatives stay behind in this world. Yet I alone am led away by the power of past actions, and that time I will be unprotected and without refuge. So do not, on any account, hesitate or delay now, but draw near to me at this very moment and enact the raffle rites of liberation. Being such as I, who are afflicted by past actions, have been subject to misconceptions since the beginningless time, and as a result, we have not achieved release from the churning states of cyclic existence. Indeed, being such as I have assumed such countless numbers of corporeal forms during countless births and countless eons, that if our flesh and bones were to be collected together, their accumulated mass would fulfill this world. And if our pus and blood were to be collected together, their accumulated mass would fill a vast ocean. And if the residual of our past actions were to be collected together, their extent would be beyond conception and inexpressible. Though I have continued endlessly in a cycle of births and deaths throughout the three world systems, the actions I have committed have been pointless and unproductive. Yet from amongst all these many countless births, the actions committed in the course of just a single lifetime could have been worthwhile if I had only trained well, pursued the path of unsurpassed enlightenment, and thus attained the genuine final nirvana. But swayed by the virulence of past actions and the great potency of dissonant mental states, I have assumed bodies, these networks of flesh and blood, and roamed throughout cyclic existence, thrust into a succession of prison-like existences, where the suffering is hard to bear. All my transgressions resonate with such unbearably intense suffering, have been born out of my own past actions. Please, through your great compassion, shatter the momentum of these past actions and reverse the vital energy of past actions generated by dissonant mental states. When overpowered by the influence of preserving past actions rooted in fundamental ignorance, I wander perceptually within the darkness of unknowing. Why do you not release me, suffusing me with the lamplighting of your own pristine cognition? When I can no longer bear the continuing fruition of my transgressions and past actions, why do you not embrace me with the enlightened activity of your great compassion? When I fall into the abyss of error, why do you not catch me in the palm of your swift compassion? When I am afflicted by irresistible disease of three poisons, why do you not cure me with the medicine of your compassionate, skillful means? When the fires of my own suffering, the continuation, maturation of my own past actions blaze, why do you not release a compassionate shower of cooling rains when I sink into the swamp of suffering in cyclic existence? Why do you not draw me up with the hook of compassionate, skillful means?
Were I to attain the resultant states of enlightenment by training again and again in the three world systems of cyclic existence, what need would there be for your sublime compassion then, given that this release would be the potent inheritance of my positive past actions? Would there be anyone to whom I would need to express my gratitude? But, O spiritual warrior, you who are endowed with the power of compassion, since the momentum of my negative past actions is so potent, do not be ineffective. Do not be indifferent. Do not be inactive. From your heart, O compassionate conquering deity, gaze upon me now. Draw me up from the swamp of cyclic existence. Lead me swiftly to the supreme level of the three Buddha bodies.
Damn.
That was, I like that one a lot. That was probably my favorite reading so far, honestly.
Intense.
Initial thoughts?
Yeah, it just makes me really think about the balance of life and how it can be so precious, but not determined, not wholly determined based off of negatively impactful decisions in life.
What stood out to you the most?
A couple of places. The first description of that we received of the wrathful deity in this section was my number one favorite.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
It created like a very intense imagery. I don't know. I had a very imagery. Like kind of like bronze black kind of color in my scheme in my head at that point.
Same.
Like almost orangey.
Kind of tipped in red somewhere.
Yeah. And it was very, very like in the center of the earth, like kind of like feeling to me. It felt very intense.
Yeah. The 05 blood drinking Harukas. We seek forgiveness. Yeah. Oh, that was intense. And then there's a couple lines that I really liked that said, "Should we have broken the continuous expression of love and affection through our laziness?" Mm-hmm. That got me real good. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? That's kind of what it's about, being in a long-term committed relationship of any kind, whether it be anything. With a significant other,
long-term
your
effort.
Friends. Yeah, long-term effort, your family. Should we have allowed our commitments to degenerate out of trivial banter? And again, that just kind of makes me think of being present and how that actively challenges your presence in day to day. And how it's, you know, trivial matters aren't just the conversation, but yeah. What about you? What are your initial thoughts and anything that stood out to you?
That's the one I relate to most, because I think when I had to put on a, like a direct first person perspective, so you read it like directly as like this, essentially this being going through this like reincarnated state, right? That's something that plays very heavily with my existentialisms, right? You know, in this kind of, I mean, like, I don't know where I fall in the whole how rebirth works or karma or any of those kind of long-term energetic cycles or anything like that. Like I said, my opinion of it is just a light touching a light, essentially. So, but like this idea of just going through this continued state of just rebirths and to like have it so like viciously like described in front of me, it's not something I've directly achieved in a lot of literature outside of a couple other sutras, right? And it's something that's so powerful to me, because it's something that's like, oh, these are the things that like I think about when you're joking about like on the toilet, right? When you were talking about like that, that's me right there, is like thinking about like continued existence over and over again, right? And these like different like, and to like call them like prisons and everything like that, like these things that I associate basically as like growing up with like, you know, 90s and 2000s rap, right? You know, and, you know, kind of like in that, in this weird way, this is what kind of comes in my head with it, weirdly enough. But like at the same time, like I said, then throwing again with this like essentially like whatever being creature, you know, and then especially to have it be led up with the wrathful confession of wrathful deities chapter of like literally talking about carving up the flesh of the Buddha body of like, which is just like the, so this very visceral image of like sawing at like the flesh of nature of life and like every and sentiency was just brutal. So like I think this one was just like, but then to always just have it reframed with like compassion,
always followed with compassion.
Like literally the Lord of Love and Kindness. Yes. Like is literally, that's the domain. And I like totally resonate that actually with that, like that kind of that concept. If like, if you're in this hellish scape of prison of whatever this existence is, both its blessing and its curses, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I totally relate to the only gods being left in it being the ones that are kind or the compassionate ones or whatever like that, just trying to help people out because this place is so fucking whatever BS, right?
And for some, it can also potentially be viewed as like a second chance at atonement.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything that you, all of your past choices are basically being like,
let me be released from it. Like quite literally, like I need like, release like me. Want to be whatever the actions that led you up to this. That was such a powerful, I think that was actually the most powerful moment in this reading to me, because it was like, I, so with how hard life is in so many different ways and how much effort it takes just to show up, to try and be okay, let alone deal with like being healthy, let alone deal with eating 3 square meals a day, let alone deal with all those like other things, right? Just maintaining all the responsibilities and dealing with like the actual realities of like how hard it is to live life. I totally relate to like all my actions have got me to this point of still in this suffering. I can think of all the blessings of this life. It's still hard. I understand the very, very natural desire to want to be released from that in a compassionate way possible. And if there was some easy like solution, I think we all would have done it by now. I think so, at least, right? That's if there was a shortcut, right? If there was an actual shortcut to be done, I think it would have been done. And then sold. And you know, under the guise of capitalism, at least. I think that, you know, I really just relate to that idea of I've done everything I can to be present here in this moment. I'm ready for whatever comes next. And I understand, and we're talking about specifically in these moments, death, right? Or again, talking about transcendence through, I guess, nirvana and entering Shambhala. Exiting the three world system, right? I guess that's the two options, right? Is death or transcendence, I guess? Question mark? Unknown, unclear? Instructions unclear? What that second? It's nirvana, right? You know, so I understand, though, that like being here, though, just wanting to be here in that place of compassion. And wanting that, like, it doesn't matter what all those past actions were, the shackles of that suffering. I want here right now to be that place of freedom.
Yeah.
And then selfishly, I think I don't want it to be alone in that place of freedom, too. I'd like you. I like the traveler. I like the cats. No. You know, Shapash over there, right?
Yeah, thank you. Cookie's waiting.
Cookie, you know, the ancestors.
Yeah.
All that.
Those that came before.
All those, exactly. The weight of all that came before. Mm-hmm. And I really relate to praying and not praying, sorry, venerating those who came before, and especially those who came before in potentially harmful ways.
Yeah.
And then also, I also always appreciate venerating the sex workers and the people who are more sexually promiscuous. I'm all okay with, you know, anything like that. I think that's as human as it gets. And I think that to deny those things are fundamental parts of it, right? I still think I struggle with how gendered some of the language is, but I get it, you know, it's an English translation of a different, of Sanskrit. But ultimately, I think these two sections were, in a large way, the ones I relate to. And again, I think flipping into that first person perspective to literally be talking about like, oh shit, fuck this, continuously reliving the cycle really just popped out to me.
Like, get me out of this cyclic existence.
Yeah.
You are my freedom. You are my existence.
Yeah. No, I think that's a bit, I think that, and that's what, you know, like in what religions, in so many different ways, so many different things, they're all trying to escape with the hardships of life, right? I think that's what drugs do. I think that's what games do. Sex does all those different things, right? You know,
sex, drugs, rock.
Exactly, baby. That's why I think it's in ultimately, like he's talking about, like the only practice that comes down to is love and compassion and mindfulness, right? Just trying to practice that in everything, right? And I really relate to that, because that's, you know, not to be self-gratifying, but that really is truly where my practices come, is like just how is every moment, how can I bring compassion to this thing? And compassion isn't just being toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes making really hard and sometimes doing really tough and potentially cold things, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
But like, what is the actually ultimately the compassionate thing to be doing? And for instance, you know, putting down Cookie when she had a massive breast cancer issues, right? Yeah. Ended up being the compassionate thing, right? I think that there's a lot of lessons in all that stuff. And it really is how you react to it and making sure that taking whatever that life uncontrollable thing is and appreciating it with as much compassion as you can. Because whatever does come next, we aren't here for.
Compassion is key. That's my motto in life. Compassion is key.
You'll unlock my heart with that. That's a good one. Well, Samantha, do you have any final thoughts tonight?
I think you wrapped up very beautifully and tied it in very beautifully with life and the relevance of that. No, I think that this is a very thoughtful and like thought-provoking section. I mean, granted, they all are, but you know, some hit on a different level each different time. So it's just like, it's a new level to ponder going into the next couple of days. And it's kind of like a reminder to show compassion to yourself as well, when it's, even when it's really hard. That's when it's very the most important.
Talk. Thank you, Samantha. I would like to say that breast cancer sucks.
Amen. Preach.
If you have any babies, please give them an extra hug tonight. If you have an infant, please give them an extra light tonight and give Cookie some love as she goes on her transition into whatever that next is. In these moments that we find ourselves transitioning into such clearly different elements of life, it can't help but laugh at liminal spaces. Boundary spaces, crossroads, what are those? We just flip everything in an instantaneous moment. I think that's why I come to understand older generations when they use sayings like, I wish you peace, may peace be with you, and things like that, because that peace can be so fleeting and so hard to achieve when all you're doing is surviving. And that peace and that quiet, when you can really live and you can find that quiet and you can get bored by the mundane, it's in those moments we find our best gifts. And with that, traveler, thank you very much. You are loved and you are enough.
What if you fly?